Mini episode 1016 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode number 1016. You've got FDH managing partner Rick Morris here today, and one of our favorite recurring regulars to come on the show here, a gentleman that we love talking about football at all levels with. The last couple of years, he's been with us to do our college football season preview, our bowl season preview. Our good friend Fran Stuckberry from Our Sports Central and other fine publications out there, he has been covering the world of football for nigh unto about 20 years now, and doing a fine job of it. And few, if any, folks that I am aware of watch more football at all levels than this guy. We actually, I believe, earlier this year talked XFL as well. We will continue to do so as that goes along. Again, Fran is just a man with an encyclopedic mind and appetite for football. Always a pleasure to have him here from the fine area of the Triangle down in North Carolina. Fran, welcome back to the show. Good to have you on, my man.
Thanks, Rick. I'm very happy to be here.
So happy to have you on, and we are going to talk today about the Urban Meyer situation. We're going to get into this as far as the suspension, the couple of game suspension, three games if you want to call it that, one game of a full suspension, two games where he gets to coach during the week, and again, the second game, I'll kind of take it at face value because the first two games are not necessarily ones that he is going to be needing to be on the sidelines for, to be perfectly honest with you. The third one, the game at Jerry World, this is the one where Ohio State had to suspend him just to pretend like they meant business. And that's one where, you know, we hear this in baseball, don't we, as far as a manager gets ejected from the game and goes back to the clubhouse and is caught sending messages. That's something that happens a lot here. I mean, Urban Meyer, based on the profile of a guy who admittedly scrubbed his phone clean of text messages that are older than a year, unless there's a split screen of this guy the night of the game and there's a camera on him for the 3.5 hours, you got to think Urban Meyer is going to find a way to get his instructions down to the sidelines, Fran, or am I just being too cynical?
I just think it's just a disgrace. It's embarrassing for the college football simply because every single media outlet has slammed Ohio State for how they handled it. The press conference was a joke. He doesn't mention Courtney Smith until yesterday, where he tweets and apologizes. Who was a true victim of this mess? Chris Carter, Ohio State went crazy on Urban Meyer. Jerry DeNardo for the Big Ten Network, the ESPN guys, Paul Feinbaum, everybody ripped Ohio State for this mess.
Yeah, and that's a thing where you could see it. You could see the trial balloons the last couple of weeks here, the whole thing of where it was going to be, oh, maybe it'll just be a short suspension. That's exactly what it turned out to be. To me, the turning point in this whole mess was when Urban Meyer, after a day or so, put out his initial statement where he said that he put this on record, whatever amount of this on record, in 2015, and the university apparently couldn't prove him wrong. That was the moment at which they could not fire him for cause. There's no way they're paying Urban Meyer $38 million not to coach. So from that point on, it just became a matter of, okay, what's it going to be? It got to be something here. As bad as the firestorm's going to be if it's a couple of game suspension, it'll be worse if it's none at all or quote-unquote time served. So to me, the economics of this, which underlay this situation at every level because of the financial behemoth that is Ohio State football, you go back to these things about the Powell police and the DUI that Zach Smith, I guess, had down there. And there was a case where Zach Smith came up in front of a judge, and that judge turned out to be part of the Ohio State University President's Council. I mean, it's quaint to talk of the notion of fixers in college football because there's a metropolis full of them in Columbus. If anything happens with any of the coaches or the players and you're in a position of authority, you instinctively know what to do. And it's just one of these things where you could see as soon as Urban Meyer was going to be getting his $38 million regardless, he wasn't going anywhere.
No, he wasn't. And another smoke to fly, Rick, was the deleted text messages on his phone from a year ago. That could have been even more evidence to, you know, to cause outrage if people found out what he was texting to people. I mean, that's like it's like he's covering up. But then when the press conference, he's pretty much acting nonchalant, just respectful. He's like, I tried to do what I could. And all he cares about is winning games and championships and money. And you're right about that, Rick.
It really is. And there's a situation that I want to refer back to because it's sort of an earlier analog as far as the place of football in society and debates of the nature of how football, how important it should be. And it took place at Ohio State University. I am shocked that, again, this has fallen through the cracks of history. It's something that I read about years ago, a fascinating 1973 biography of Woody Hayes called Buckeye. Are you familiar, Fran? And most aren't, so don't feel bad if you're not. Are you familiar with the saga of the 1962 Rose Bowl and Ohio State not going to it?
I haven't. I'm not that familiar with it, Rick.
Fran, this is crazy. This is a crazy story. I haven't talked to anybody that knows this story, and I don't know why. This is the kind of story that should never be forgotten. This has just fallen through the cracks of history. Ohio State qualifies for the 1962 Rose Bowl. They're the Big Ten champions. They're going to go. It should be pretty much a routine matter. Now, the guy who was the head of the Alumni Association had been sort of a thorn in Woody Hayes' side, and he'd been sort of beating the drum. He was one of these eggheads. Oh, football's too important down here. So he rallies the troops. The university faculty council had the right to block it, and they did. By a 28-25 vote, Ohio State declined to go to the 1962 Rose Bowl as a sign that, oh, we're important. We're taking academics seriously. We're not just a football factory. And, of course, there was a big backlash. The Columbus Dispatch on the front page prints the names and phone numbers and home addresses of the faculty members they thought voted against it. In some cases, there were people who voted for Ohio State to go to the Rose Bowl who were victimized by hate mail and worse. But this is a thing where, and I guess this is one of these interesting things as well. The 1962 Rose Bowl was the first national college television broadcast of a college football game. Minnesota beat UCLA 21-3, so they represented the Big Ten. Minnesota was grateful, by the way, that it went. So, I mean, we've come a long way, obviously, since then. But you've got a thing where, to me and to most people, Fran, I think in 1961 to say, oh, we don't want to be a football factory. We don't want to go to the Rose Bowl. The Rose Bowl itself is indicative of taking football too seriously. I mean, that's too far on the one extreme, I think a lot of us would say. We've swung so far to the other extreme now of where anything is justified if you've got a 91% winning percentage. You know, it's unbelievable. It's the same institution in less than 60 years.
I mean, especially with the other universities. I mean, I'm not comparing it to our rivals, but the bottom line is, covered it up, and the thing was, if people did more digging, they probably could have found more information to incriminate him. If media outlets like did Baylor digging, they could have nailed Urban Meyer on this even more.
Absolutely, and the way that it went is just a thing where if you go on, for example, 11 Warriors, that blog covering Ohio State football, the comments section there is indicative of anything you would find, and I know from being down in Columbus an awful lot of what you hear on the radio station, and again, Buckeye Nation, which is the only people to whom Urban Meyer expressed any remorse whatsoever during his infamous press conference. He has since put out a very disingenuous apology to Courtney Smith on Twitter. But Buckeye Nation, and this is a thing where I hate to say this, but I'm going to be honest. We're honest in the FDH Lounge. There's a little bit of, fortunately not that serious, a little bit of friction between the old man and myself. My dad's a season ticket holder and alum. He doesn't like hearing me talk this way. My dad, quite frankly, I love him to death, is one of the Kool-Aid drinkers himself. And this fan base, and there are now, my dad does not condone a lot of the commentary that's out there. My dad would never say a lot of the crap and a lot of the victim blaming and whatever that these people have done. But it is so poisonous. I mean, it is essentially, without trying to make a political point here, it's sort of the info wars of the college football world. When you go on 11 Warriors, and again, when you check out the just callers to talk shows and that kind of stuff, and the victim mentality, the program is the real victim here, not Courtney Smith. It is a sickening, disgusting, reprehensible point of view. It's a victim mentality, and it has been at its very worst during this entire situation, Fran.
And the thing is, Rick, it's not going to, I think Urban Meyer thinks if he keeps on winning, people are going to forget. I don't think that's the case, Rick.
Yeah, I think you might be right about that. And again, where he goes from here, and I'm a guy where I was a big partisan back in the day, a big fan personally and professionally. And I got to give it up to Urban Meyer, because I think Urban Meyer has been even a more successful coach than Jim Tressel. But I was a big Jim Tressel guy, and I really resented, and my dad was too. I mean, long story short, my parents ran in a lot of the same local Greater Cleveland educational circles as the Tressel family. They are very much revered in the southwestern suburbs of the Cleveland area because of Lee Tressel's longtime dominance at Baldwin Wallace, leading them to a national championship at whatever level they play in. I don't even know off the top of my head. But the Tressel family, the Tressel name, again, I have a world of respect for it. I thought Gene Smith never should have survived the first one. I thought Jim Tressel got thrown under the bus by this, the situation with the tattoos. You look at it now, and Gene Smith, yeah, he gets a slap on the wrist suspension himself, but he manages to survive yet again here. And Urban Meyer, I'll go to my grave saying the major difference between Urban Meyer and Jim Tressel is Urban Meyer had a 91% winning percentage, and that's what allows him to skate. But like you said, it'll be interesting to see how long that goes on.
Yeah, because if they get to the playoffs, then people, you know. But the thing is, if for some reason if they lose some games, I don't see that happening much. But if they lose, three games a season, the media is going to be all over him.
They're going to be. And it's going to be interesting to see. My guess is the local fans are probably going to go into blame mode of the national media killed this season. They've been doing a lot of shooting the messenger, whether it be a woman who got beaten, whether it be Brett McMurphy, the reporter who unearthed all of this. Buckeye fans have been very good at blaming everyone except for Zach Smith and except for Urban Meyer for his role in this thing going on as long as it did, and this very shameful guy being on the employ of Ohio State. But as we bring this full circle, again, you and I have covered in a lot of depth here the disgust we feel about the situation. Any closing thoughts on this, Fran?
Well, I mean, Rick, it's sad to see this happening because we saw what happened in Penn State with Sandusky. We saw what happened in Baylor. We see what happened in Maryland with that mess and all with the players being treated there. Now it's not a situation. But the bottom line, Rick, if you're a winning coach and you owe him a lot of money, he's not going anywhere.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the way things go. We have come a long way from, again, when Ohio State declined the 1962 Rose Bowl bid to where now they are putting Urban Meyer back out there with just a slap on the wrist. And, again, a very, very, very sorry chapter in the history of not just Ohio State University and the football program, but the NCAA as well. But, again, always a pleasure to break things down with you, Fran. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you, everybody, for joining us for FDH Lounge Mini Episode number 1216.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse, and The Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.